Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Senator Kirk Talbert from District 10 joins us. A big, robust agenda in special session starting Monday. Kirk, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Newell. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us, Kurt. It seems to be a pretty robust agenda, one that kind of meanders through a whole different set of topics. What can we expect from this special session? And really, in the end, what are we trying to accomplish?
Well, I think the three main things we're trying to accomplish, first would be hurricane relief. We have a lot of displaced K through 12 students from the Lake Charles area from Hurricane Laura that we're going to have to adjust some things with the MFP. That's the funding mechanism, you know, for those kids. So that's something that definitely needs to be done. We have a lot of kids that are now going to school in Texas that are seniors because their schools were destroyed in the Lake Charles area that technically will not qualify for TOPS now. So we're going to do some legislation to make sure that those displaced kids will still qualify and not lose their TOPS. Second, Newell, would be the unemployment insurance fund. You know, before this all started, we were at about, I think, $1.1 billion, which is a nice, healthy balance. That has been whittled down to about $143 million, maybe even less than that. Once we go below $100 million, then we're going to have to borrow money from the U.S. Treasury to make that difference up. And what that does, it automatically triggers an insurance increase on businesses that could be up to 30% of taxable payroll, which is going to be a big burden for businesses, and it could reduce the $221 monthly dollar to go to unemployed workers. Third would be, you know, there's a host of COVID-19 issues that legislators are going to be, might be filing bills on. One thing in particular, you know, most states, if a governor declares an emergency for more than 30 days, then they need to seek legislative approval. That will probably be one of the bills. But you're going to see some legislation, you know, filed, you know, on the COVID-19 issue, a lot of it doing with, you know, some with health care. But those are going to be the main three things. There are a lot of local issues that we pulled from the agendas in the regular session last year because of COVID that were important to those local areas, and those are going to be brought back up. That's why you see the list of 70 things in the call, and you're like, oh, my God, you know, this seems like a regular session. But there were some very important local issues that we just said, look, when we came back last summer, you know, we got a limited time. We got a lot of important things to do. Y'all just put those on the back burner, and if we can squeeze you in a special session, which will more than likely be called in the fall, which it is, So we'll bring those things on. So that's why you're seeing kind of a large number of call items.
So in the end, basically what you're saying is that there's probably a relatively large number of these agenda items that y'all are not going to take up in this special session because
yeah,
it would be very difficult to get it through the process if, you really take some of these other issues very seriously and encourage debate on these issues. You will run out of time.
Right. And look, some of these local issues that were passed over in the summer are not controversial, so they'll fly through the process. And, you know, as you saw during the session when we cranked back up, you know, we really did streamline, you know, the testimony and the process and make it a lot faster and a lot quicker. One thing I do also want to mention is, you know, the Main Street program, you know, there's probably going to be efforts to take money out of that and maybe put it in the unemployment insurance fund or put it here or put it there. So that's another thing that's going to be, I think that's going to be a very hot topic, is the Main Street program and the money that, you know, people are going to want to take out of that.
Well, there's a balance of about $100 million. We've been promoting it on my show. I think it's been a great vehicle for those that can avail themselves of it. But it doesn't seem like there's been as many takers as we once thought.
Well, from what I understand, they've already sent out about $70 million in checks. And I talked to an official there yesterday. They're getting about 1,500 a week. So it's really starting to hit its stride in the last couple of weeks. So I think people are, you know, they've streamlined the process. I think people are finally starting to get around to doing it. And look, it's a great deal. I mean, if you're a business and you're suffering, you can get up to $15,000 in a grant, not a loan, so you don't have to pay that back. But it is Federal CARES Act money, so there is a lot of things you have to do. You have to document your income. You have to document your expenses. You know, it's not just a willy-nilly thing where we can just cut checks. You know, that Federal CARES Act money comes with strings attached, and you have to follow those certain procedures in order to disperse that money. But it does seem like that program is really starting to kick in right now.
The Speaker of the House, Clay Schexnatter, said as it relates to this declaration of an emergency in the state of Louisiana and having a lot of this authority reside in the hands of the governor, whether that be a governor with a D or an R at the present time, is something that it's going to change. What do you expect that's going to happen, and where do you lie on this issue?
Well, you know, that's a great question, because, you know, as legislators, we get a lot of calls from people, you know, open up the bars, do this, do that. And look, I'm not going to criticize the governor's handling of what's done so far. I think he's done a good job. It's been a very difficult process. And, you know, 5 months ago, 4 months ago, we thought we'd be long out of this by now. So everybody's kind of learning how to deal with this thing as it comes. I do think things, like I mentioned earlier, maybe getting legislative approval, if we're going to go beyond 30 days, you know, maybe that's something, you know, that I would be in, that is something that I'm in favor of. But as far as, you know, I don't want to think we need to go in there and just take this thing over. I mean, you know, this is a very difficult thing, and, you know, committees don't need to handle this. The governor needs to. But we would like more of a seat at the table. And I think that you're just going to see legislators try to say, look, you know, keep us more, a little bit more involved in this, and keep us a little more on the front lines and keep us more informed. But again, you know, we've never been through anything like this. The governor's never been through anything like this. None of us have. So I think the governor's doing the best he can with what he has.
Yeah, I mean, I hear folks talking about setting up some structure that they would govern by committee. Would you be in favor of that?
Man, I, on its face, I would say no, but, you know, I'd have to see the details in that. But I think most of the legislators I've talked to is more of, we want a seat at the table, rather, hey, let's just take this thing over and we're going to run this thing by committee. I don't think that's what the majority of the legislators want to do.
But you know as well as I, seat at the table comes in many different shapes and colors. You know, one of the things that having led a relatively large organization, it's really difficult, especially when the partisanship enters into this. And I don't know what you could ask of this governor anymore, relying on the White House's commission here and following the gating criteria set out by President Trump's commission as well as the CDC. It's just kind of, I don't know, it just seems a little disingenuous to me to call ourselves into a special session in the midst of the pandemic and thinking about changing the governance model. I mean, it would seem to me that would be more appropriate in the aftermath, looking back as it relates to sitting down and doing after action as to where we may have done some things a little bit different and what potential safeguards we could have at any given moment in time. Especially, as you say, you know, this is an unprecedented event.
It is. And look, I can tell you a lot of the legislative frustration. I'll give you an example. In the executive budget before the session started and before this pandemic, you know, we had money. The governor had money, I think $60 to $65 million for state pay raises. In the session, we said, look, now this is in June when we were still in the midst of the pandemic, and we thought, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen by September, October. We said, look, let's set that money aside, and in October, if everything's back to normal, we'll give the state workers that pay raise, which they deserve. The governor vetoed that, and we gave a $65 million pay raise in July when we're hemorrhaging cash. We're hemorrhaging cash in the unemployment fund. We're hemorrhaging cash in all these other things, and we just didn't think – we thought that was a very responsible thing to do, to say let's set the money aside, and if we have the money in October, we'll give the raises. And, you know, he vetoed that, and here we are with $65 million less that we could be using for a lot of things. And I think that's part of the frustration. But to answer your question, look, I'm not going to criticize the governor.
Not to be argumentative, but y'all had the opportunity to override the veto.
That was a line item veto out of HB1. I mean, we would have had to, you know, we would have had to override the entire budget, and that just wasn't going to happen. And I think in the context of the pandemic and everything else that's going on, that I just don't think there was desire there to throw the whole baby out with the bathwater. But, you know, that's just an example of, and look, next fiscal year is going to be really questionable on our finances, probably more than this fiscal year. And that $65 million is going to have to come out again then. You know, that wasn't a one-time thing. That's something that's there forever. But, and again, I'm not saying that the state workers don't deserve that, but, you know, we haven't had public employee layoffs and haven't had their salaries cut back. The private sector is getting crushed. I mean, we are getting absolutely crushed. We still have 350,000 people without jobs. We need to be holding on to every dollar we can. And what message does that send to Washington when we're begging for money and states around the country are cutting back and we're giving out raises? But, you know, again, I think the governor's doing a good job with the way that he's handling the pandemic. And I don't think you're going to see legislation to say, hey, we're taking this thing over. I think it's going to be more like, look, we just need a more of a seat at the table. And, you know, let's just try to get more involved. But look, the unemployment insurance fund, that's a reason alone to call a special session. We have to find some money to move around and put in that, because we don't want to go below that $100 million, which triggers that up to 30% tax on taxable payroll. I mean, that's just another kick in the gut for businesses.
No, I don't disagree with you there. I think that there's a lot of exigency in and around that issue that needs to be resolved and needs to be resolved now. I was just, and I think you agree, a little taken aback by the fact of how broad the call was, and I think a lot of folks were, because I would agree with you. I think, you know, the top three issues, and we may agree to disagree on some on governance, but
right.
Those are three important issues as it relates to MFP. I'm not sure whether or not that couldn't have been taken care of in the spring, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, if you're going in anyway and you can fine-tune that now in that way that there's some certainty for those students, that makes sense to me.
The NFP, you know, when you displace all those kids from Lake Charles, now they're out of that school system. They're going to school in Avoyelles Parish, East Baton Rouge. You know, it does – that needs to be fixed. That's something we could not have foreseen because we didn't know we were going to have a Category 4 hurricane, you know, and have that much destruction. So, you know, that's something that needs to be addressed. But, again, a lot of those 70 items are some local issues that were, you know, were passed over in the regular session that shouldn't be controversial. We've got 30 days. Hopefully we don't use all those 30 days. But, you know, the president and the speaker, you know, has made it clear, you know, we're not going to bog this session down with a bunch of stuff that can wait till next spring.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, good luck with that. And y'all go in Monday afternoon, is that correct?
We go in Monday on the 28th at 6 p.m., and then we'll end on October 27th.
All righty. Well, Kirk Talbert, Senate District 10, State Senator, thank you so much, Noel, for joining us.
Anytime.
We appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back after the break. 504-260-1870 on the Mortgage Financial phone and text line. Give us a shout. This is Newell on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.